Good to see you. Good to again come in the presence of the Lord. But before we look into the Word, how about we just spend a couple of minutes in prayer? Loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given to us once again to come into thy sweet presence this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness throughout last week. Lord Jesus, without you, we can do nothing. So the fact that we are alive and well in the land of the living, it's purely because of you, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we, Lord, look into thy precious word this morning, Lord, we remind ourselves we have an enemy. We have many distractions. Lord, this word, Lord, that we read has been immensely beneficial to your children all throughout the years. So Lord, we pray it's our desire this morning that this word that we read, the words of life, eternal life, might pierce our hearts and our minds to Lord, to change us to be more like you this morning, Lord. Hide us all behind thy cross, Lord Jesus. Lord, we need you, Lord, and we are a needy people. We also are certainly forgetful of the many truths that you have taught us. So Lord, this morning, as you once again give us an opportunity to look into thy precious word, Lord, we pray that we will do it in spirit, and we will be able to obey it, and we will be able to practice it, and we will be able to take it to heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask all of these things in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome, everyone, once again. Happy Father's Day to everyone. As we all know, that this word, Father's Day, is quite popular in many countries, but to the children of God, to people, those who have been saved, we have multiple things to think about as we just look into this word of our Heavenly Father, who is. We certainly have earthly fathers. We no doubt we need the magnificent support that the earthly fathers provide us. Some of us may have fathers who have walked in the Lord for a long time. Some of us maybe not. Some of us may have fathers who are here. Some of us must have been called to glory. Regardless of which position we are this morning, I think I will start off by saying that we live in a very troubled time. This institution that God has created, you know, there is no father without children, and there are no children without fathers. This is under attack, especially in this 2020. The Christian church, you know, there is no way it can flourish without having a Christian home. And what do I say? A Christian home is the backbone of the nation. It is the backbone of the civilization. It is the backbone of the society. It is where the parents are bound together to come together in Christian love. Christians' homes are the places where the next generation of leaders are being bred. Children are welcome. They are being instructed by the Lord Jesus. You know, and it is not only the supposed head of the house. You know, we can always say Christ is the head of the house. I certainly have a few plaques in my home, but the desire is that he is actually the head of the home, where parents and children come together for daily worship. And that is where Christ has placed fathers to be. Now, we've got a short time. We've got about 25 minutes this morning. So if you think about what do I want to say and what the Lord has burdened me is to think about three things. One is to think about the role of father. And when we look at the role of the father, we should look at firstly, by all means, the Heavenly Father. So I'm going to read one verse, and that should motivate us to look at the gravity of that verse. And then there's many verses I will read this morning. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. It's a great verse of comfort which says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So 2 Corinthians 6:18, this is, you know, those, all of these verses from 17, 18, it's a amalgamation of a lot of the Old Testament verses. And this is not a new truth that has been reminded to the church in Corinthians by Paul. It's an age-old truth that has been preserved, that the fact, I will be a father. So the first point is, our God is our actual heavenly Father who is giving us this promise. And that promise was given in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel. So turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. If you turn with me to chapter 31, verse 9, it says something like this. And the last part, I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Quite simply, we can see this truth resonated time and again in the life of the Israelites, saying that I am a father to Israel. Now, we know in the New Testament there is certainly a spiritual meaning to that. And if you turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 12, it tells us that, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see this, we know of this verse very well. We use this when we preach the gospel. But I think this morning, I just want to highlight that each one of us, you know, regardless of we celebrate Father's Day, it's for mothers, it's for all those who have been received and have become the sons of God, have this opportunity to call on him as the Heavenly Father. This Heavenly Father is full of compassion, is full of many attributes that we are still learning daily. This morning, and as we progress in our Christian walk, we continue to learn. We continue to rely on this God. This God is a God who shields us from everything that can come and affect us. We've been learning many verses of refuge this year, this month. In Psalms, it says, if you turn with me to another Psalm, Psalm 18, verse 30. I'll read this out quickly. Says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust him. You see that word, trust him, all those who take refuge in him in many other translations. He is a shield to those who take trust in him. So this morning, just focus on a few things. What is it? Focus on our Heavenly Father. Now, if we are a father, or are going to be, if God is going to allow us to be a father in the future, there is a lot for us in this 20 minutes to take on. There's a fair amount of verses to apply to each one of our life, including me. I have two boys, and there is, I know how hard it is as I progress through this verses to practice it myself. But I'm going to quickly highlight this, that no matter what our position is in terms of our walk, we have this absolutely perfect eternal Father who is full of compassion, who is full of mercy. He's not only the one who executes mercy, he's the one who is a just God. And if you turn with me to Psalms 50, verse 6, another little verse that should comfort us this morning says that, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. He is the one who is going to execute justice. Now, like I said first, fathers, if I have to put a title, it's good to have a title, right? Is what is the most important thing that a father can do is to lead a Christian home in a way that will be pleasing to God. So the little title is Fathers in a Christian Home Have an Immense Responsibility. It's an extremely important role in a family. You know, the devil is attacking this institution. We live in a day and age where the culture is, there is this so-called emphasis on a feminized culture, working mothers, single moms, a dominant media. The minds are becoming more and more reprobate in a condition that we cannot imagine. You know, in 2016, the Australian Bureau of Statistics published that there is 1 million single parent homes in this nation of ours. You know, even in the secular media, there are lots of books written. I'm going to read out a guy called, his name is Guy Cornier. He says, absent fathers, lost sons. And that is the position that this world is heading into. Fathers are present, but yet they are not present. They are absent. You know, it is extremely important that fathers play an important role. And that applies to me. That applies to each one of us. Because that is the biblical principle. It certainly gives us this additional impetus this morning as we all wish one another happy Father's Day. It comes at a significant responsibility, a responsibility to lead, a responsibility to if I have to put this, if you get nothing out of today's message, get this two key things, that is the father's, the current fathers or future fathers have this immense responsibility to teach our children about heavenly fathers. And in two ways, the Israelites were taught about this immense responsibilities. And those two ways is what we need to tell our brain that I want to remember for a long period of time. And one thing is to fear God. And we as fathers have an immense responsibility to teach our children to fear God. And I'll get to it. I'll get to it. What actually does it mean when we say fear God? And we will look at a few verses. The second thing is not only to fear God, but to guard our mind. Now, guard our mind from many things. And we know when we say mind, we speak of our heart. And when we say heart, heart is the seat where there is a lot of emotions. There is a lot of things that can get affected us. Like from the heart comes love. From the heart comes loyalty. From the heart comes kindness. From the heart comes many deceitfulness. From the heart comes fidelity, faithfulness. All of these things come from the heart. And that is kind of very intermingled with the mind. So what is this immense responsibility a father has to play in a Christian home, to the ones who have received him, to the ones who have been given the right to be called children of God, to the ones who have believed in his name? What is it? To teach diligently our children. It is an immense responsibility. Now, the qualifications, a few weeks ago, we were reading the book of Timothy in our daily readings, and I was surprised that It repeatedly says in Timothy chapter 3, in verse 1, this is the qualifications of in chapter 3 in verse 4, it says, of a bishop, it says, the one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. And then it continues to say, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Now, this is a qualification given to a bishop. And then it continues on the rest of the chapter again to deacons. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. So you see, there is quite a bit of an emphasis given by Paul when he was writing to this church that, you know, what are the things that is required? There, in this whole book of Timothy, and long time ago, Brother Arun took some, you know, detailed study on this book, and it's still important to just remember that there are lots of qualifications here, but primarily this morning, as time is progressing, is to focus on that fact which said to make sure of our children are walking in the right direction. Now, how do you make sure of that? You know, what are the tools that God has given us? You know, it is certainly not, you know, if we try and put it this way, that, you know, if our children's in 10 years' time have failed to recognize what we have taught them through this entire time that they were under our care, you know, we need to say that it is not dependent on our own performance. You know, no matter what we do, there is no guarantee of our child's faith, because they have to take their own decision. They have to lead their own lives. But what we're actually doing as fathers, more importantly, is taking this primary responsibility in teaching our children, in instructing them, in telling them of the things of God, in showing them how God has asked us to be an example. Now, many have in this world may have not have had Christian fathers. I want to read out a little incident. A Christian lady from a certain community, you know, was having a ministry to periodically go and visit the city's prisons. One day, one of the inmates asked her, "Can you get me a Mother's Day card for me so I can send it to my mom?" The word passed throughout the prison, you know, telling all of the prisoners that there was this lady who was doing this ministry in the prison, and a lot of the prisoners went and told this, had the same request, that can you pass a Mother's Day card? And you know, this lady had to go and get a big shipment of Mother's Day cards for all of these prisoners, and there was not a single one that was left. So being far-sighted person, this lady, you know, she was thinking, now, well, what's next? Father's Day is coming, and it was just around the corner. The woman obviously was reasoning, and it would be a wise thing to order the exact same amount of Father's Day cards. And, you know, she ordered the same amount of Father's Day card, just like the Mother's Day cards that she ordered. And 3 years later, she came back to visit. Not a single card had been requested by any of these prisoners in this particular prison. So are we to assume that each one of these prisoners were abandoned by their fathers at birth? You know, certainly not. I would assume many fathers in that home would have to profess, you know, would still profess that they love their child, and you know, regardless of what they shaped up to be. But you know, this big gap of many people who end up in big wrongs is because they haven't had fathers to guide them. Now, fathers are immensely responsible for guiding their children. I'm talking of not only boys, I'm talking of girls as well. This man, Guy Cornier, is a secular man. He said that he argued that boys raised without a father lose their role model for developing proper masculinity and oftentimes struggle with psychological pain developing any sort of wholeness in life. He's not a Christian, but he's written something which we all know is true. There's another author, again, this is secular media publishing these things, saying, Grimm and Basel, saying girls who have a very little contact with their fathers, especially while they grow up, during their adolescence, have great difficulty forming any sort of lasting relationship with men in the future. So the United Nations, many sort of statistics are saying children raised without a father are put to a greater risk for suffering severe consequences. We know what happens when the family is split. We know in this day and age how devil is attacking this institution, is taking away what God wanted fathers to be. Now, what is it that God wanted fathers to be? You know, that is what we want to look at in the next 10 minutes or so. So pay a little bit of attention. I'm going to repeat, the theme is the same thing. God wanted fathers to instruct their children to fear God. And Proverbs is full of examples of that. We know many things like fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But I'm going to go a bit beyond that to understand what is this fear of the Lord. We're going to read, you know, back in all the way in Genesis, this instruction that God was giving to men and women has never changed. It has been the exact same thing. You know, in James 1, 17, God says he is an unchanging God. His instructions are not changing as the cultures have changed, as the years have progressed. As the 21st century arrived, it did not change from what he taught, I don't know, 5,000 years ago. So look, turn with me to Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. It says, "For," and now this is talking about Abraham, and said, I'm going to read a few verses ahead. "And the Lord said," this is talking to about Abraham, "shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing?" Verse 18 says, "Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him." So I'm going to pause there. I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him. That, now, this is the crux of this morning, if we can take away something, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Quite important role was given, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. This continues when Moses, after he finished his journey through the wilderness, and when he was about to finish his journey and he was sitting at the other side of the bank of the Jordan and he was writing this book of Deuteronomy, he continues to echo the exact same theme. And what is that? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's read this. If you are able to read this with me, even more better, because there is great power in reading the word. So read with me. One verse, read with me, and then I'll read the rest of the verses quickly. Verse 2 says, "That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you." Now stop here and see, to whom? You, which means first to whom? To the fathers, to keep the statutes. Now this is where the fathers in this call, the first instruction of all of this is for the father to be the role model. Now, I'm going to caveat this. If a father fails in this responsibility, that doesn't mean this is a blank check for the children to say that my father did A, B, and C. Now, I know many of us have godly fathers. So who prayed for us, who continue to invest time in our lives in this. But the first responsibility starts with the fathers themselves. So, you know, this is, again, very important. The next one, read with me. "You and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged." Generation after generation, this has been told to continue to fear the Lord. Let me just quickly read 3, 4, 5, and 6. "Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with God, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Now read these two verses. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, When you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlet between your eyes. Now, we know a lot of the Jews have taken a lot of these literally, and have, you know, put this in the doorpost of their, you know, houses, and many of us also do. But here, this is much beyond the literal, right? This is an immense responsibility given to the fathers to not only practice what you want your children to do, lest we be caught with hypocrisy, but continue to diligently tell them, you also are a fallen soul who needs prayer. So if a father fails, and we know many fathers who have failed, yet the father should step up and ask for forgiveness. And that is, forgiveness is available to father and children to, you know, go out there and ask, you know, we and our children, you know, have to turn away from sin, and our heavenly gracious Father will certainly forgive us, and if we actually confess to him. Don't try to say we are supermen. Acknowledge the fact that we could fall too. But yet, in all humility, teach our children what has been spoken here. That is, diligently to fear God. Now, let me come to this point, fear God. That's what is important, right? This is not a fear that, you know, we can first think, what does fear mean? This is a reverential fear. This is, put it this way, God has an absolute right to punish sin because he hates sin. So he has a right to punish sin. So it's very healthy to teach our children to have this fear, to know that when you live in this world, we need to fear God. There is this verse which says again in verse 13 of the same chapter, if you're still there, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and take oaths in his name. Verse 21 to verse 25 says, then you shall say to your son, we are slaves. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all of these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. So the twofold ministry of any father is to first to obey what is written in this word, to make sure that you are able to bring up your children by teaching them the ways of the Lord, to bring forth to them in a way that they can choose righteousness, they can understand to fear evil. Now, there is no formulas to this. No matter how many books people have written, every home is different. Every setting is different. Every son or daughter has a different personality. So our Heavenly Father has asked the earthly fathers, if we are one today, or if we will be in the future, to step up, to be more diligent in the way we can probe and get involved in our children's life. But that is a responsibility given to me. And if you are any... And this is important because, you know, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul calls us to be an ultimate example as an imitator of him to Timothy. He says in verse 5, it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. So children of God, I'm talking now, and the children who's listening in, If you take your Bibles quickly, I'm going to rapid fire take you through about 10 verses, which makes this very important from the book of Proverbs to just look at the gravity of this, because there is a reward in the end of this, children of God and children all. Turn with me to the first verse in Proverbs chapter 1. What does verse 7 say? It says, "The fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, but the fools despise wisdom and instruction." And here is the crux. The next verse says in verse 2, verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father." My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. You know, it continues. This doesn't stop in this beautiful book. What is Proverbs? Proverbs is just a book given to each one of us as a principle in a very concise terms, as a manual for our Christian living. And we do not need anything more other than this word of God available to us. Verse chapter 2, verse 1 says again, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you," my son, if there is a condition, if you do this, there is great blessings followed. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." Chapter 4, verse 1, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." Verse 10, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." Verse 20, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying." Chapter 5, verse 1, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding." Chapter 6, verse 20 says, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother." Verse chapter 7, verse 1, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you." How long should I go? This is, we'll need another few, 10 minutes or so to go through all of this. But what is this saying? Children, there is an immense responsibility to you as well. Now, I would classify this in the broader bucket. Children of God and children who are listening in to their parents. Now, we all know in Ephesians chapter 6 what it says. You know, I like a few weeks ago, while we were doing this Ephesians as well, you know, we quickly read through, 5 and 6, and we reached this says, verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." You know, but a lot of the children who were listening wanted to move on from this 1, 2, and go to that verse 4, which says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Agreed. This is also important. Agreed. But don't forget, there is all of these words of our eternal Father has been given to us so that we might listen to this. We want to turn our children into men and women who lean on the Lord when they are out of our hands. As the world will come and attack, we want to teach them the same things that has been taught all the way from how many of our years ago, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, continues to be taught. And the same thing is that this men and women whom we are raising under our hoods, under our care, have immense potential for the nation's blessing, for them to see how the fathers behave in their home, how they behave with their wives, the words that come out of their mouth, the pastimes that the fathers have, the private life and the public life and the relationship between them, all of that, the complete reliance on what says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, which is what? the reliance on salvation, which is, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The same strength that a father can draw, no matter how tired the father is, anyone who is in following, is reminded of this verse in Isaiah 40, 30 and 31, which says, I'll read it out quickly, which says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. They can take another couple of verses to say, my God shall supply all my needs. Can take the absolute dependence of parents when everything seems to not go according to plan, and it happens in family's life. And that is why the secular world are very hesitant to raise a family. They almost, you know, they would prefer raising a pet than having children, because they are not able to balance all of this. This fatherhood comes at an immense responsibility to teach diligently, firstly, of the three S's: salvation, of the reliance on strength, and the reliance on who shall supply our need. Fathers, you know, we have to sum this up by saying there is an immense responsibility on our shoulders to be imitators of God, not of any man. The more we try and fix our eyes on any man, we may be disappointed. But there was a few men who walked a good course in this life, stood in the gap. We know a long time ago, it was in the book of Ezekiel, there was a man who was being sought to stand in the gap between God and a fallen nation. But right now, I just want to close with one thought that Paul made to his faithful son, Timothy. You know, we do have great examples of godly men, spiritual men who never got married but still had spiritual sons like Timothy, whom he could say to follow me, who he could say to imitate me. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. I'll read a few verses to 17, and I will also read from 2 Timothy 14 onwards. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. What a great confidence this man had when he was writing this verse, to say that in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Isn't that beautiful? To remind each one of us, we may have had maybe, you know, fathers whom we don't want to look up to, but we have an eternal Father who sent us godly fathers, who preached the word to us, who ministered to our needs. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, again he says the same thing. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Fathers, we need to revive our lives, and I'm talking to myself, because God has asked us to lead our families. God has asked us to step up, to be involved in our children's lives. God has asked us to look to the Heavenly Father as the source of our help, as the person whom we can draw all our supplies, as being told in Philippians chapter 4, 9. As we read in Isaiah 40, all our strength needs to come from Him. He is the one who is going to provide. We may or may not be able to rely on people around us, but we can rely on this eternal God who is full of compassion. That's what I started off. Who is full of justice. Who is the one who shields us. Who is the one who gives us refuge. Who is the one who is telling us to, is admonishing us in through these verses to continue to disciple our children. When we say disciple, He is encouraging us to not to follow the means and the culture of the land. He's telling us when it's necessary to follow what is required. Now, one verse I have as a promise to all of the children as I finish. Children, if you can turn with me to this promise, and this is a very important promise to take with you because God has given this a promise to each one of us. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Now, I'm not talking only this in terms of sons. This applies to sons and daughters. This applies to everyone, you know, who has taken this verse seriously. We can even apply this to the ones who have been saved by grace. We can make our Heavenly Father glad, a wise son. And we know, how does this wisdom come from? You know, we all know that verse by heart. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear not to just be in certain times. This fear produces significant amount of benefits in our lives. It makes us think about God to be more profitable than wealth. It is going to bring about life that is eternal. It will keep us from many evils down the line. It will continue to give us the opportunity to breed humility. You know, humility comes when we look at what our God did for us. Philippians chapter 2, when we continually look at that verse, for what Jesus did for us, we are satisfied. We then become untouched by evil. Even though evil touch us at some point, our God will help us from falling. So fathers, I'm going to close in prayer for all of our fathers, to the children, and also for our eternal Father who has blessed us with this unchanging nature of His. Loving Father, Lord, we thank You that many thoughts was brought to us this morning that helped us to just look at our eternal Father who loves us so much that He gave us His dear Son, who gave us the opportunity to be called for all those who believe in Him as His child. So thank You. We have such a loving Father who is unchanging, who is full of compassion, who is full of mercy, who is a just God, who provides for our needs. Lord, we pray that You raise fathers amongst our little fellowship, who is able to trust in You for all what is required. We thank God for all the godly fathers that You have given us. We thank God for the prayers and the intercessory work that they did to bring a smile and gladness to Your face. We pray, O Lord, as we continue about our roles in our families, we will continue to take leadership to instruct our children of the things of the Lord. Mainly following the Lord, mainly relying on the Word, mainly fearing the Lord, mainly putting the heart and the mind on things of God, getting out the things of the world and getting in the things of our eternal Father. Lord Jesus, we thank You for all what You are continuing to do in our lives. Lord, we are not perfect. Many of us, including me, am imperfect in many places in our lives. Lord Jesus, but remind me of the great responsibility and each one of our fathers in the days to come, that we will intercede not only for us, but for our children daily, so that the devil might spare them from their lives. Lord, not that we have full responsibility, Lord, you have given us the Holy Spirit to guide us. So we also thank you for this comforting verses that was given to us this morning, that continues to guide us and lead us into your calling. Lord, we ask all of these things in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.